Hello, it's the big show. This will be my appraisal for 2018 then. Boss is keeping an eye on me while I perform in front of him. That sounds wrong, doesn't it? But anyway, it'll be marking my scorecard as we work out. It's a new year. It's a new BTN and all the crap at CES we'll probably cover. Before we do that, we'll cover the boys who have turned up tonight. Starting with, he can wait, Gazmaz, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Absolutely sponrific. And it's been a long time since I've been on, actually. A very long time, in fact.
I think the last time we did it together, we were talking about Goat Simulator.
Yeah, but you're always talking about Goat Simulator, aren't you?
Oh, God, Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's like a regular occurrence. Every 3 months, it's on a rotation.
I realize when I say things, and then I say them, and then I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I'm here now. As somebody once said.
And making sure I watch my P's and Q's and I do all the right things. It's the governor, Mr. Rankin.
How are you doing, righty boy?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Happy New Year to both of you. Yeah, no, I'm all right. I'm okay. I've got Christmas out of the way. I started work on the 22nd, finished on the 3rd. So it was good. And we had a few hiccups, but it was all right. Yeah.
But you did the awesome thing. You were down at Euston on Christmas Day, weren't you, with Mr. David?
Yeah, no, that was great. I got invited to that and asked if I would mind filming, and I said no, it'd be a pleasure. And it was a humbling day, and it's changed me. It has changed me. There's a lot of people say that kind of crap, and they just talk bollocks. But there's a Tesco over the road from where we live. And every day I go over there, if I buy something, and I just walk past the guy that's homeless. And since Christmas, every time I've gone over, I've bought him a sandwich and a bottle of water, regardless of what I'm buying in there. And I'll never walk past and not buy him a sandwich and a bottle of water. And the thing that struck me, and this is a message for everyone really that's listening, the thing I really took away from it was, you know, the guy from the shelters there telling me that basically homeless people in London can get 365 meals on Christmas Day and get sod all the rest of the year. So although it was done on Christmas Day, the message is when you pass a homeless person, buy them a sandwich. £3 doesn't cost you that much. Buy them a sandwich, give them a bottle of water, and they'll eat for that day. And most of the other days of the year, they're struggling for food. So feed them on the other days. Don't feed them on Christmas. But it was a great day. I mean, I spent my bottom lip wobbling up and down most of the day and my shoulders bouncing up and down, trying to stop myself crying and keep the camera still. It was bloody horrible. Brilliant otherwise.
I think that's one of the best news stories of Christmas, actually. Obviously, I knew you'd be down there and Steve was organising it, but I think one of the posts you put out, wasn't one of the chaps who was there one of the blokes who designed or built Euston Station?
Yeah, no, I got to interview this guy. The briefing I got at the start was, right, okay, you don't interview the guests, you interview just the people that are there. To participate. There was over 50 volunteers there, 50 companies had given stuff as well. And this woman came and grabbed me and she says, you've got to come and talk to this. You've got to bring your camera. You've got to talk to this man. And I sat down and I was like, you okay if I film this? Yeah, yeah, fine. So who are you? And he was a guy that had built Euston Station in the 60s and 70s. And I was like, you're kidding. He's like, no. And he was a steel erector. And he was telling me about the hot summer of 76 in London. And he was doing steel erection. And I was like, so how did it do? He said, well, I said, did it warp the steel and that kind of stuff? He said, no, it was never got that hot. He said, but it was too hot to work. So as soon as it hit 90 degrees, they used to send us home. And the thing was, they'd take you from a building site and they'd go, oh, it's 90 degrees. Off you go, fellas. And you'll have to get on a bus.
Oh, really?
The bus was like 110. But yeah, it was an amazing day, absolutely amazing day. And just if you get a chance next year, give up an hour of your Christmas day and find someone who's homeless and give them something to eat.
No, I think that was one of the most amazing things I saw. So that was brilliant. Are they planning on doing it again? Because that was the first, wasn't it?
Well, it's interesting that I don't want to say too much because I've heard some things from Steve that maybe I'm not supposed to know. So. But it was a well received event, and I think it's likely to expand.
Let's just say it'd be nice to see more of that sort of stuff. Yeah,
I think I saw two negative comments on Twitter about it, and they were justified negative comments about people's privacy. just concerns, not that it was breached or anything like that, because it was very carefully done. The only negative comments came from Daily Mail readers, and they were appalling. There are people who read the Daily Mail who don't deserve air.
As they do. Well, you'd say it's the start of the year. There's debauchery and stuff going on over in Las Vegas. Is there any real tech coming out of there? Are we going to cover that, or you've got some really good stories?
We can't not touch on CES, surely, at least. Jeff's going to call in, isn't he?
I'm tapping him as we speak.
Pick a bit of a dude.
I must admit, when you were talking about CES at the start, I suddenly thought, oh my God, I haven't looked at, well, I have looked at some of the stories coming out of CES, but they've been all the failures, you know, like the robot that wouldn't do what it was supposed to do. And then that safe that you could bang on the top and, you know, automatically open the door, all of the rubbish that's going on. But I did pick up on one story from CES, I wanted to relate it to a couple of other stories, which are, I'm not sure whether to bring them up or not, really, but I will do. So I've got a story. Do you want me to kick it off?
Go.
Okay. So I'll ping it into the chat room, which I think I'm supposed to do. And it's basically talking about Android camera makes 3D spinnable selfies. Now, I don't know if you've seen this. I mean,
no, I'm about to look at it though.
Yeah, but what they were doing with this, and there are lots of other connotations around making this particular 3D image of a face. But I think the technology now is starting to, you know, the software is really leaping forward with the fact that you've got so much power in your hands, and everybody's walking around with a mighty computer. They just don't realize it. But the reason I wanted to talk about this, and this is not on the back of the cauliflower beefsteak conversation that's been going on recently and the plastic, because we've been thinking about this for a long time, actually, because we've got a coffee machine. So I'm going to be tangential here. I hope you'll forgive me. But we got a coffee machine. It's one of those little pod machines. And we are really sick and tired of throwing these little plastic pod things away because they're not really very recyclable. So we're going down the avenue of getting a coffee machine, which grinds coffee, bang, you know, you buy coffee in paper bags, use the coffee. Yes, okay, I've got a bigger machine. It's cost more, and you know, but it's going to last a lot longer. I'm not putting lots of plastic in. And that whole thought process, especially when Storm Elena, was it Elena? Basically washed up. And I'm going to put another story, and this is where the link will come in. You'll get the link in a minute. Washed up all of that plastic and that rubbish on the beaches in Cornwall. And obviously with Blue Planet 2 also talking about all the plastic that's, you know, washing around in the seas. And so now there's got a bit of highlight about, you know, all the stuff that we're throwing away. And the link with the Android camera was the fact that they can make 3D images. And those 3D images can then be downloaded and put onto these 3D printers that everyone gets. And it suddenly struck me, everybody's buying these 3D printers and they're making all these little plastic products and then possibly throwing them away.
Yeah.
So there's a whole linkage here about the world that we're in and the balance that we have to play against having something that we want, which is new and shiny and great and we love it, but equally the fact that all of these resources have got to end up somewhere, and how responsible have we got to be for our kids and our kids' kids moving forward? Yeah, you could throw your hands up in the air and say, I don't give a shit, you know, now, but actually your kids and the kids and going down will. And Ewan mentioned that he felt like doing something good and he's been humbled by that thing on Christmas Day. And that far outstrips what I'm talking about here completely. But these are all little bits, which I think as a society, we've got to start thinking about.
No, because, well, you think about it, you know, and I think Ewan will attain to this as well. You know, not only are you creating little bits of crap on your 3D printer, but there's a lot of wastage as well. Is that right, mate? Was that just your
statement doesn't begin to describe the woes and the swearing that I sustained with that frigging printer. the number of times, because the thing is as well that you get a lot of the stuff. And for items that are kind of the size of, say, a pat of butter, even though they're hollow effectively inside, that's 9 to 12 hours worth of printing, or 14 hours worth of printing. And did you guys see the Eddie dog that I made?
Yes.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Oh, okay, I'll go and get it. Hang on. So the Eddie dog that I made was 250 hours of printing.
250 hours.
Plus he set up a camera at the office so he could watch it from home.
I didn't do it from an environmental viewpoint. I did it just purely from a, I don't want to waste all the plastic that I've bought, but the PLA for it. But I'd wake up and I'd just like put on the thing, and I'd look at it, and lo and behold, it would be doing it. But that's Eddie, okay? That's 250 hours of 3D printing.
Which is cool. That in itself is really cool. The issue that I was thinking about with all of this stuff, which is happening not only from CES, but you know, moving forward, we're going to see more of this. Is, where's it all going to end up? Yeah. We've got to be.
I have to do my professional newsreader thing. Our Roving Reporter has just started in live.
So straight, believe it or not, I actually got a connection to work on the expo floor.
Oh,
seriously!
We look really cool now.
Yes. So I'm actually, just by chance, I'm standing in the Otterbox booth right now. So, you know, they do the cool shockproof cases. So, yeah. So what do you want to know? And if there's something that's close by that I can get to show you, I am happy to do it.
Sex robot.
Oh, do you want to see sexy stuff?
No.
Yes.
I know right where the booth is. Hold on. Oh. We're on the way right now.
Sorry.
You can't have Jeff on that sexy stuff. I'm sorry.
So, if I can figure out how to turn the camera around, I will totally do that for you. Hold on. Can I switch my camera?
Righty, can you click on Jeff?
Dude, you're now. Okay, you're now roaming the expo floor.
Yep, here we go.
I think you clicked.
Okay. So we're heading over to the Oh My Bod booth right now.
Oh, my bod?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're the people that you can get jiggy with a friend who's long distance.
Yes. All right, guys, I'm back because...
I'm back! He's already been to
the video show. They're like, hey, we want to see the Oh My Bod booth. Awesome. So here we are. Like, seriously.
Hello, Jeff.
Check out. Here's the newest thing that they have. This is awesome. Okay, so this vibrator, it links up to this over here, which has a fleshlight in it. So the movement on the vibrator is controlling the movement of the fleshlight. So you can have virtual sex with people from anywhere.
And you can see what you're doing.
And you can see what you're doing.
Dude, I'm not putting my dick anywhere near that. It looks like a pufferfish.
So how awesome is that? First bi-directional control of two sex toys, and you can be anywhere in the world as long as you have an internet connection. And they have, check this out, the new there you go, panty vibe. And this one, they changed it to another switch, silicone to hold it in place. And then check out the remote. It has audio in it. There you go. So you make sound.
So you can talk.
Check it out. I'll do it again. There we go. Check it out. I'm making a baby sound.
Ask him what his mother thinks about his life choices.
Yeah. Why on earth would
Here
I
we
want
go. To How about some Kegel exercises?
What I like about this booth is it's right next to www.anchor.com.
If you can't get off it, no, I won't go there.
See, isn't that cool? So there you go. You can actually use your iPad or your iPhone to keep track of your progress.
And he's got a very nice ring.
It's just what Steve's going to
love his day.
So I'm just going to kind of sneak us over a shoulder real quick, just so you can see something before I switch the camera back around. So what Suki's holding right there, it's a vibrator that you remote control. So you have this app over here, and you can actually, like, if someone's remote, you can do this whole chat thing with them, and then when you can control the vibrations of the vibrator for them, and then they can let you know when you've just made their day.
I mean, talking about make life easy for men.
So you guys rock.
Yeah. Darling, I'm just getting my phone out.
All right, there you go.
Cool, Jeff. Trust you.
How's that for delivering?
That's exactly what I was looking for.
CES reports.
All right. So is there something else I can show you? I know after that it's kind of anything else is just kind of a letdown.
Exactly. Are you having a good time? What was the band you saw last night?
It was Joe Perry.
Oh man, they were great.
So he put together just an amazing band. It was fantastic. So I'm trying to think what else is right around me that would be cool to show you real quick.
How big's the expo?
Yeah. Oh, why am I pointing at me instead of everything else? There you go.
How big is the expo, Jeff?
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to see some Star Wars cases?
Go on.
Oh, right, he does.
There you go.
That is right. He's porn.
Oh yeah. He's
sticking there vibrator. You go.
I'm surprised there's not a store with Star Wars vibrators, to be honest with you. I mean,
we've discovered where that one is.
Yeah. Oh, you'll find it.
Yeah, I'll keep hunting. Well, I don't have much time because I have to go pick up my suitcase pretty soon. I have a meeting coming up, and then after that, it's off to get my suitcase and then off to the airport.
Well, if you're going to do it properly, Jeff, sign off like a proper news reporter.
Oh, sure. Okay. We need some sort of interesting backdrop behind me for it. Yeah,
please.
Here we go. Can we see anything cool?
Right, we've got to be quiet now. Jeff, do your right. 10.
This is Jeff Gamet, roving reporter for The Big Show, live from Las Vegas. You and back to you.
That's awesome.
How was that?
Oh, that's funny, man. That's my day.
All right.
Thank you, Jeffrey. You made our day.
Hey, sure thing.
Yeah.
All right.
That's BBC rates, Jeff. BBC rates.
Oh, well, does that mean I just got a raise?
You did.
A 20% raise. Sweet.
Don't put your dick in that puff of fish, mate. It doesn't look healthy.
Oh. All right. Okay. Well, I have to go. Sorry I couldn't be in the show longer, but I'm glad I finally got the bandwidth to work on me well enough so that I could dial in.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
All right. I will see you guys later. Have an awesome show.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So that was all kinds of awesome.
That was brilliant. Well done, Jeff Gamet.
You see, if all of the millions and millions and millions that have been spent on CES and we got
the best
dildos.
So from dildos back to useless plastic. where were we?
Flying dogs.
Eddie the flying dog. Here you go.
That was it. Yeah.
Eddie the flying dog.
I like his strap on.
Yeah, he's some thrust. That was 250 hours of printing. And it is plastic, I know, but it's not a very stringy plastic. It goes in but anyway, and it's very heavy as well, so I don't think it would probably float particularly well. But it would sink. But the thing is, when you leave that running, so like the body here was 23 hours on its own. So I had a camera running, and as soon as if I woke up and I saw there was just like even a slight bundle of fluff, I had it linked to a Wemo switch, and I'd kill the Wemo switch on the phone, so the printer just stopped dead because I didn't want to waste too much PA. But the waste is massive on printers. I mean, our printing room, if you go into the Slack room, we've got a 3D printing room there, and we've, there was originally oceans of pictures of bundles of wool where it had all gone horribly wrong.
The thing is, you know, it's come up with the fact, you know, obviously a lot of it's been washed up because of the storm and that sort of stuff, but it's been a, you know, it's kind of like the CFC thing from, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s. You know, they will do something about that, they did something about that, but, you know, they're like, oh, well, we'll charge a 5p for a plastic bag. Well, it doesn't really do anything, does it? Because people are like, well.
Well, no, not, at work, there's somebody who's in management, but they basically spend their time creating these lifelong bags, and they make them in a local town, and they just hand them out so people can use them. And they fold right up small, so you can put them in a bag and carry them about. You take them to the shop so you can use those rather than the plastic bags. And apparently they've given out, they've made and given out 18,000 bags during the month they've been doing it. And that's about, I think, about four or five years. Mm. So, you know, there's not many of them doing it. So they've, you know, they're kind of on this trail, but I think we're all kind of got to think about it a little bit more. I mean, I was listening, you know, this whole furore about Apple's iPhone battery slowdown, you know, the CPU, all of that process. But it's making the phones last longer. Okay, great. But how many phones, including Apple phones, doesn't matter whose phones they are sitting in people's drawers? And I then heard somebody talk about all of the resource and precious metals which are sitting inside those phones, sitting in people's drawers, just because they don't work anymore.
Yeah, well, the companies love it, you know. Well, certain companies do. In my days of IT, I worked with many, like, recycling companies, but I used to work with Apple, and Apple would come and pick up tons of IT kit for free because they know the value of that,
right,
in recycling. And I think in the enterprise industry, that stuff does get recycled, gets, you know, but the amount of stuff I see just dumped everywhere, it's all over the place. Because I think with certain consumer electronics, once the people are finished with them, they don't actually know what to do with them. You know, certain phones get handed down to kids and all that, but they have a certain lifespan. You know, all of my iPhones get handed down to my father-in-law.
Yeah.
And when I give him the next one, he hands it down to my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
But then that phone stops getting the updates, and it then gets useless, you know. And like I say, it will end up in that drawer, it'll end up in that landfill or whatever, you know, because they do only have a finite life.
I don't think any landfill anymore, though. There is no landfill anymore.
No.
We're not putting stuff into the ground to just leave it to rot.
No.
When it doesn't rot. I think there is a lot of transfer station work now where things are stripped down or things are separated. I used to have a friend who ran a transfer station. And I've got to say, if you've got to be really seriously on the breadline before you consider a job in a transfer station, it's the worst, shittiest job you've ever seen in your entire life.
But Ewan, isn't that going to be, you know, those are going to be the sorts of jobs of the future, though, aren't they? Yeah, and they will make it better. I mean, I know what you've said about it being a really shitty job at the moment, but they've got to make that whole process slicker.
Yeah, no, the Wallis of the future are definitely the things that you need to have. But I mean, there's a great point what you said there. If you go down to my office, I've got a Bondi Blue G3 iMac, I've got a cheese grater, I've got a G4 Mac. iMac, and all of those are just sat on the shelf. I've got no intention of firing them up. I've got my 32-year-old Mac SE prototype.
Yeah, but to a degree, I can forgive some people, and you included, in that, because you're kind of interested in that tech. So it's kind of there, you know, you've got it, but there's equally, you know, that's only a small percentage of people that will be doing that. But there's an awful lot of kit out there which is sitting, which people go, I don't care, just put it in the loft and it just sits there, or put it to one side. Yeah. And I think, you know, gaining back that resource is going to be big business in the future, I think.
Mm. Well, we have a lot of problems. It's certain the way that warranties work in IT kit is, I think it's like 3 to 5 years, even if the machine is perfectly working. Once this reaches warranty age, businesses just replace them because they think there's a cost saving in having a warranty, having things fixed if they break. But PCs, and I spent my entire life working in IT, just keep an old kit going, because it's like, well, what's the point in buying new stuff when you just keep it going? But yeah. Now they replace kit that is better than a lot of people have got at home. A lot of people don't have access to, but certainly people on lower incomes don't have access to decent computers and that sort of thing. And the stuff just gets replaced that doesn't need to be replaced. And it's a huge problem.
But that's the whole, that unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. That's the Western world, isn't it? That's commercial and capitalism.
Mm. Well, because you get new phones come out every year. It's like, I don't think you need a new iPhone every year, do you? Really?
No. And I use the excuse that my phone goes down to my daughter, goes down to the missus, goes down to my father-in-law. So, you know, I kind of use that as the excuse to get one. But it's not really a very good excuse, to be honest with you, because there's still one at the end of the chain that is going into, you know, we've got to get a process so I can feel better about doing that. Because I am seriously thinking, you know, the wife and I have said, we want to use less plastic this year. And it's funny because she got me a pork pie. Okay, I live in Leicestershire now, and pork pies, you've got to have a Leicestershire pork pie, Melton Mowbray. She went to a local butcher and a paper bag. Great. Inside the paper bag was the pork pie, which was inside a plastic bag, inside the paper bag. So, I mean, we're going to be moaning at them, but it's little things like that. It's everywhere, isn't it? That's the problem. Plastic is everywhere because it is so useful.
Yeah. No, the bloke I get my welks off on a Saturday morning, he puts it in a plastic bag and then wraps it in paper.
Yeah. I've never heard a more Norwich statement than
my welks.
Get my welks from on a Saturday morning.
Someone's pinched me winkles. Yeah.
I do like a winkle from time to time. But it happens, and I was like, give me on a frickin' tray. I'm going to eat them now anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Wander around the streets of Norwich with me welts. I'm happy boy.
Yeah. So I think it's a problem, and it's an industry which, you're right, you know, we're talking about the CFCs, and that we still got canisters which spray stuff. So CFCs was just taken out. It's just an easy process. And I think we're going to get into that position. So it's going to be a new industry. Everybody's worried about jobs, but... We're almost creating our own jobs, you know, as we go through, because things change. And there's going to be no taxi drivers because there's self-driving cars, you know, autonomous cars. But
I've still got reservations about that.
I have too.
A long way to go, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. But you know, there's other jobs which are disappearing, but there's new jobs which are appearing. And but I am concerned about how much plastic. If you drive down any road and just take a slight side look, especially when you come to a halt in traffic, just take a side look at the sides of the road. And
oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful, absolutely awful. And so we're all responsible.
Has that changed you though, Gus?
How's that what?
Has that changed you?
Has it changed me? Not like your experience, no. It's changed my thought process. Well, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the start, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you now go and reject the plastic bags?
Yes.
Do you now go and reject plastic items over paper items or wood items?
Yeah. 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 And I find it incredible that we're now talking about deposits on plastic bottles. You know, you just think, hello, what did they used to do with bottles?
I said, yes, take my Corona bottle back to the shop for 10p.
Yeah. Yeah, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But yes, I suppose it has changed me, and we are making a positive. We are making a change, whether it's positive or not. You know, I would hope it is. But
is what we're doing with, like, you know, what we consider waste. I know we've got recycling bins and that sort of thing. But with one hand, we're being more careful with that. But with things like consumer electronics and that sort of thing, we're not. So I was just balancing it out rather than making a difference.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, at work today, we were having a short discussion about it at work, and somebody looked at me and said, well, the small difference that we're going to make is nothing compared to, you know, the waste that comes out of other countries, you know, pointing fingers at the likes of America and China. Whether that's right or not, I don't know. I think we're as bad as anyone else. But, you know, I said to him, well, you've got to start somewhere. It's all got to start somewhere. And, you know, plastic condoms and dildos, sorry, not condoms, but the dildos, which Jeff, it was funny, but it's just another plastic object, isn't it? Let's be honest. And one that you wouldn't particularly want to recycle.
Take,
who's going to want to handle that?
Well, is it normally when you take your TV down the tip, the bloke down the recycling centre goes, got the remote for that? Take your dildo down there, got the remote for that, mate. Yeah. I'll take that home to the wife.
I did some work years ago with a firm, and one of the guys there, he ran his own firm that did CE marking. So they actually did the physical accreditation for getting the CE mark for all your machine. And he'd done stuff like he'd done some of the components for servicing the Airbus and that kind of stuff, real big, iconic things that you'd want your picture next to. And I spoke to him about, I don't know, 2013. I said, so how you doing, Bob? Yeah, I'm all right. I'm fine. What are you doing this week? I'm in Amsterdam. Oh, really? What are you doing? He said, I'm CE marking a single-use vending machine for dildos. And I was like, and I've seen about the waste, actually. When you said about the waste, that's what I first came to my mind, was the story with Bob doing it. And it was just like, you know, okay, there's a dildo machine with a sealed battery that doesn't recharge, that you get your rocks off until it runs out, and then that's it.
Yeah,
there is no more. And then what do you do with it? You know, you chuck it in the local river. The shopping trolleys.
If they drain the canals in Amsterdam, is that what they'll find?
Yeah, that's it. Single use dildos cluttering the thing up like a whole load of shoal of fish.
Don't go fishing in Amsterdam.
Actually, as I was talking to a guy the other week, we were talking about being old, effectively. And I was saying that, you know, I meet people who are heads of like significant departments, directorship levels in organizations. And they weren't born till after George Michael had already left Wham. And we were defined by the fact that we were old. And he said, do you know what really is missing from today's youth? And I said, what's that? He said, porn fly tipping. What? He said, you used to go for a walk down a country lane and you used to file a bag full of escorts or Mayfair or something like that. And you'd sit there with your mates and that would be an entire afternoon's entertainment.
That was my Sunday, yeah.
Mate, they haven't got that anymore now.
No. Have they even got a top shelf anymore? Oh, I haven't looked.
So have any of you seen anything out of CES which have, you know, has sparked your interest, other than the disobedient LG robot and this safe that you can crack open by banging on the top of it? And
well, that was going to be my story, actually.
Sorry.
No. I'll put it in. It's perfect. Thanks for the link, Gaz. No, that was my story. It's all right to do my story, right? Sorry, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. I've switched Siri on. That's no use. That won't work. Are you still got me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. No, my story was basically that CES this year is the Google versus Alexa smackdown, without a doubt.
It's big, isn't it?
It's Google Assistant versus Alexa, and you're talking about things like Alexa controlled showers.
I see. You're not. Yes.
The Moen digital shower is Alexa controlled. You just go, Alexa, it's too hot. And if it's really hot, you forget to say Alexa, it doesn't get any colder. It's like, oh, it's too hot! And you forgot to say Alexa. Or in the case of my father, you call her Alexis and she doesn't respond.
It's
too hot. Alexa, it's too hot. Alexa, it's too hot.
Yeah.
So, but you look at the explosion that there's been. I mean, you're talking about things like Whirlpool are a major manufacturer who are failing to commit to one or the other because they want to have the facility to use both. So you're going to buy a washing machine now, and Whirlpool will make a washing machine, one of which responds under Alexa and one of which has got Google Assistant in it. So they're going down two brand routes in this thing. And every product in your house potentially over the next 2 years may have voice control of some description, and the controlling factor will be Alexa or Google. And I'm going to break the rules of the big show a little bit here, because I don't think you get an objective conversation around this fact with the Mac show, but it is a big show topic in that I think there is no place for Siri anymore.
Oh,
Siri is potentially dead in the water after what I've seen at this year's CES, because there's no integration, there's no licensing, and they can't even get it to work in their own device, particularly well outside of America, and even inside America as well. And I just think there's no place for Siri anymore. So that's kind of like the peripheral conversation on the end of it.
Yeah, well, the extra conversation around that is the fact that HomeKit, somebody, I think, I can't remember who it was, said they've only spotted one item which was compatible with HomeKit. And then somebody else said, no, actually, here's one more. But the overriding linkage is with Amazon and Google.
Yeah.
There's just, Apple are just, they're out of the game completely.
No, I've completely replaced Siri on my iPhone with Google Assistant because they've allowed it to be a widget on the, ironically, on this what they call the Siri screen. So you swipe left, and I've got Google Assistant at the top, and it does everything I want it to do. If I ask Siri to do the same thing, it's just like, don't care. But Google Assistant just does everything I need it to do, and it talks to my Apple Watch. It's not as integrated into the Metal as Siri is, so for certain things it's not as good. But you know, for the things that I use voice assistants for, which is, you know, ask a question, set a timer, set an alarm, it's fine, it does everything I want it to do. And if I am going to ask a question or look like being clever with Google Assistant, I will go to Google every time. I think if I'm surprised that, well, I might be wrong. There's not an Alexa app, is there? I know there's an Alexa app for Alexa itself, but there's not one we can just talk to, is there?
I don't think so, no. Not that
no,
one.
There's no iOS app for Alexa.
No, which I think is a weird thing that's missing for them.
So, rounding this back, are you saying they are producing two different machines?
Whirlpool have said in the story that I picked on the BBC that they are unwilling to choose a favourite between the two, which would indicate that they want to keep their options open. So if you are in the ecosphere of Alexa, then you will go with the Echo, and you'll go with the Echo-enabled device, whereas if you're with Google Assistant, you'll go with one that was... And as far as... I'm lame on this, but as far as I understand, they're both running on Zigbee, so... That, you know, both will be compatible with each, but if you prefer to say Alexa set a 60 degree wash as opposed to Google's, you know, hey Google set a 60 degree wash, then that's where it could be that you go down the route of two unit devices. Yeah. But the home speaker, I think, is another one where it clearly shows to me that Apple has really missed the boat.
Yeah,
JBL have released a Google Assistant. Enabled speaker. Now, okay, everyone takes the piss and says they're junk but loud, but it doesn't matter. They're out there with a product. Sonos has particularly jumped in with the Echo, and the Sonos and Echo integration works really well for me. I don't have a problem with it. And you're going to tell me now that I have to go to the HomePod and I have to buy the HomePod, and the HomePod is 1.5 times as expensive as the Play 1, which is probably the same equivalent speaker to it, because you're not telling me it's equivalent to the Play 3 or the Play 5. And you put a voice assistant on it, which doesn't freaking work on the other platforms. Where's your advertising for your voice assistant-related functions actually working on the HomePod? It's not there. And if you look at the amount of products that voice assistants are integrated to in CES this year, that is the crux change. It is the watershed moment of home technology, is getting a vocal assistant to help you with the things that you do. And I use it all the time. People are blown away when they come to the studio and I'm saying, Gertrude, turn on the lights. Gertrude, turn on the radiators. And the fact that I come down in the morning, I say morning to everyone at the breakfast table, and I tell Alexa to switch on my studio radiators, and she switches them on down at the studio. So when I get there, it's warm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That blows people away.
Yeah.
So it's not actually about physical technology. It's all about speech technology at CES this year, we think.
It's the cloud is speech.
I wouldn't say that CES is summed up by the battle of the voice machines, but I think that is two anthills fighting over one patch of the tech sphere at the moment. And they are caning the crap out of the other virtual assistant that's out there, because that virtual assistant has got a reputation for being shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. because Anker's just announced they're putting, even Anker, who normally do batteries, they've put Alexa in the car now. They've got a device, I think it's called, what's it called?
Love that idea.
Yeah, it's called the Rove Viva. It's a little box, you plug it into your cigarette lighter. It's got two USBs out the side, so you can charge your device, and it's got Alexa in, so you can just make your car Alexa compatible. So, you know, some companies are choosing, you know, not choosing one or the other, and some companies are going, do you know what? We've chosen the one we want, and we're going with it. And I think Alexa's going to win, perfectly honest. I think Google Home and that had a bad rap, because when it came out, they had that problem where it was listening all the time, and it got a bit of a bad rap. They're still selling it cheap, I think. I think they're still selling it for 34 quid at the moment, just because all Google want, Google will give them away for free, because their business model is just having it in your home, listening and you talking to it.
Well, Rob Lyons, who is in our Slack room, and his job is home automation. That's all he does. A company called Activate. He effectively bought a Google Assistant just to say, well, I've done it, I've tried it, and I can integrate it into customers' premises if that's what they want. And he said to me, for 50 quid, he was blown away by what the little Google, the mini, would do for him. He said, you know, I was really into Alexa. I was really happy with what Alexa did, but I was blown away by the Google Assistant. The more I get into it and the more I realize what I can do with it, the more I want it to do. I have a thirst for a voice assistant to control my working day. I want to say, close the blinds. I want to say, warm my car up on the drive. I want to say, turn on the gas ring, you know, or turn on the electric hob ring, that kind of stuff. Turn on the oven and set it at 220 degrees. I want to do that verbally.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to, because the thing is, there's the amount of things that you can get on. Say you're making a recipe. So there's an LG-enabled fridge that when you start a recipe, you can tell, it's got Alexa built in, and it will tell you the stages to with the recipe. So chop the carrots, and you go, I've chopped the carrots, Alexa, what's next? And that it tells you, and it walks you through the recipe that you're doing. And the ability to then concentrate on the cooking and concentrate on what you're doing in terms of timings and let them deal with the timing. So, yeah, okay, Alexa, I'm putting the potatoes on to boil. Okay, you'll need those for 8 minutes. While that's happening, do the following. And then at 8 minutes, Alexa goes, the things are ready now, so take them off the heat or whatever. You know, that kind of stuff would be, and you could help someone. It's a complete interaction of doing a single process like cooking a recipe.
Yes.
I think that's invaluable. I'd love to be able to do that, so I can carry on and go, turn on the oven to 220 degrees. Let me know when it's at temperature.
Yeah. Well, I've told the story a few times, because obviously my nearly 90-year-old registered blind nan, we put Alexa's in the house. You know, and she got to grip with that really easily, and the reason we did it is because she can't see, and she's pretty much deaf as well. She didn't know how to turn the radio on. She couldn't see the clock, this sort of thing, and she just says, "What's the time? What's the weather going to be?" And if she gets a doctor's appointment, I use my Alexa app on my phone. I put her appointments in. So in the morning, she goes, "What have I got today?" And it tells her what she's got. And so much so, we went out for Christmas. We got one of those 55-inch QLED Samsung TVs, because she can see that, because she's got the old Mac of the generation, but she can see it. And it's got Alexa built into that now. So where she could never turn the TV over, she can now just say BBC One, BBC Two, ITV. And she can say volume up, volume down. And she's nearly 90, but it's changed her life. Just that simple
interaction. That's the combination of what Ewan was talking about with the recipe, and what you've been talking about, Paul, is because there are naysayers out there that say the more technology you have, the more stupid we become. And to a degree, they could use your example, Ewan, to say that. And I don't agree with that, because...
I
agree with it in certain circumstances, but you've obviously called out that actually it helps you concentrate on what you're doing to make a better end product. Okay, yeah, you don't learn the recipe and all the niceties around that. The people that want to do that can still do that. That's still available to them. And then you've got the other extreme where it absolutely helps your gran turn on the TV and just turn makes her life so much better as well.
So I've got an immensely positive story with my parents. Last Christmas, we bought them an Echo with the speaker on it. And my dad couldn't get over the fact that he could sit there and go, Gertrude, play Ella Fitzgerald. And he could sit and listen to Ella Fitzgerald all afternoon and not get the same track twice. And he just loved that. And it was simple. And I said to him, Dad, see me mum. And she's about 6 weeks ago, I said, you all right? Yeah, fine. She had a bit of a shock. What? I left the underfloor heating on in the conservatory and it ran the bill up a bit. Bloody hell, Mom, how long did you leave that on for? And I'm expecting a week, 3 years. I'm like, you're kidding. She went, no, I've just found out. It's probably been on for about 3 years. She went in there and switched it on, forgot about it. She said, I've looked back over the bills and they've actually been quite high. I wasn't checking them. How much she'd been paying? She'd been paying £600 a quarter for electric.
Oh, bloody hell.
And I'm like, okay, I'll stop that straight away. So I went down and bought them two TP-Link sockets, put them on the plugs that link to the underfloor heating. And she said, well, I put it on to circulate so that it doesn't get too musty in there. I want it on every day for a couple of hours. Okay, that's fair enough. So I said, I'll just set the plugs up as timers. The plugs run on timers. They come on at 8 p.m. They go off at 10 p.m. But they always go off at 10 p.m. So even if she puts it on at 11 p.m., it'll go off the following night at 10 p.m. So she only pays for a day of waste. And when I saw what she'd done, and I said, now, if you want to go in there, all you've got to say is, Gertrude, turn on the heating. And I'd set them up as a group in Alexa. And she was like, that's all I have to say. Yeah. So she said, she tried it and was like, click, you could hear them go on. And she'd turn it off, click, it went off. I said, that's it, fair enough. And she said, oh, can that go on other things? I said, yeah. So this Christmas, we bought them five TP-Link sockets to go with their Alexa. And now she gets up in the morning, she walks in, she says, Gertrude, turn on Margaret's lamp. Bumph, her light pops on. She says, turn on Sam's lamp. My dad's light pops on where they sit. Turn on the front light, and the front door light comes on. And the front door light's also on a timer, so it comes on and goes off to make it look like they're in, whether they go out or not. And they love it. They absolutely adore it. They've really taken to it. And my mother will ring me up and go, oh, my computer just did this. No, it can't just do that, Mum. You've done it. So you shouldn't click anything you don't understand. Just stay away from it. But now she's got the Echo. I have zero tech support with the Echo.
Brilliant.
Because it doesn't do the stuff that it doesn't understand. So that's easy.
Yeah.
And she can't do anything wrong with it because it's only got a set limited of parameters that it can actually respond to. And occasionally she'll say, turn off the hall light. And in that case, then our light goes off and we're just sitting there chuckling like, oh, she's got that wrong. Let's turn on the hall light. Bang, and it comes back on. But the other thing as well, and here's a great one, is because it's linked to my account, I've linked all of the lights together. So if my mum goes, turn off all lights, all of their lights go off and all of our lights go off. And I've said to her, if you fall over, all you have to do is keep saying, Alexa, turn the light, turn on all lights, turn off all lights, turn on all lights, turn off all lights, and keep saying it until I ring or until I get to the front door. So now our lights effectively will flash if she has a problem.
An alarm.
Yeah, that's the game changer.
Can I ask a question? This is going to be a really stupid question. Why can't you change the name?
You can. You've got four choices at the moment. You can say Alexa, computer, Echo, or one of them.
Even that sounds a bit restrictive, though. What? I assume that will change in the future because it does seem, you know, I don't know whether there's a reason that they've only given them four options or not.
I think there's a reason.
Right.
And I think the reason is that they're words that you're less likely to hear in general conversation or on televisions.
Okay.
Although on Google, you can only say Google, can't you?
Yeah. But you'll have a lot of people say, you have to say, okay, Google, you can't say Google. So yeah, it won't respond to Google. So there'll be a lot of TV shows that will mention Google, but they won't say the okay in front of it.
Okay.
And I know from our own experience and from letters that we get, people tell that they're going to hate this show. Jesus Christ. But we get a lot of letters from people going, I was listening to the big show and you bastards all said, okay, Google, yeah. Alexa, Hey Siri, and everything went ballistic. Now, well, I've been listening off when I've listened back to stuff on the radio.
And you wait for the calls, Ewan, when we circle back to Jeff Gamet's bit, and when you say, hey, Google, pleasure my wife.
That's going to be so, that's going to be it. Now, there is a skill, if there ever was one.
where's the buzzing coming from? Oh, good story, mate. Good story, mate. Well, I got one. I'll cover it quickly because I think we've done rather well tonight. Just following from what Gaz was saying, but the story I should put in the chat room.
Oh, you guys have got to look in.
Yeah, I've just looked at it.
Yeah, you've got to look at Swamp Rat's cartoon. He's just put. If you want to know anything that's going on in the chat room, just go to BritishCentNetwork.com/chat and you see a transcription of all the chat. But Smart Rat's just put in a great cartoon there. Why is the electricity bill so high? Spot on.
Brilliant.
So something I'll cover quickly. The story is CES 2018, longer lasting gadgets showcased. So we're talking about all this new technology. We've got our remote control vibrators, courtesy of Jeff. I'm sure he'll take a few away in his goodie bag. But the one thing we have all this new technology. We have these new tablets, all this sort of thing. And you know, it's batteries have been in the news with Apple and all that sort of thing. I know this is not the Mac show, but generally batteries are a problem because we remember a time when we had mobile phones that last 2 weeks on a charge, wouldn't they?
Yep.
And I know they weren't doing what they do now, but it is a pain in the ass. So what I've got in this story here is, like, during a Huawei's press conference, they were saying that their top complaint from their users is battery life. They've put a 4,000 milliamp hour battery in their latest phone. I think Lenovo's just put in a 20-hour battery in their device. But we never see, like, we see new technology, but we don't see any advance, and we don't see anything on the horizon in advance in battery technology.
Yeah, I was just going to make the statement, technology's moved on leaps and bounds, but battery technology is kind of coming up in about, it's like we've run the marathon on technology, and that the battery technology hasn't even started the race yet, it seems.
Yeah,
I mean, yes, there has been advances, agreed, but I think it's got a long way to go, hasn't it?
But it goes back to your original point of technology that ends up, like, getting ditched, because the one main consumer component in your phone or your tablet or whatever is the battery, and it's only going to have so many charge cycles or whatever. And okay, Apple have admitted that that is a consumer product they'll now replace for $29. So if you do have anything from an SE up to a 7, then it's worth £30 to go in and get that done. But for a lot of people, it's, you know, if your phone is, because you know, I change my phone every 2 years. I'm not a change of phone every year, but and I when the iPhone 10 came out, I looked at it and went, it looks nice, but I'm not spending £1,000 on it. So I bought the 7 Plus because for £200 cheaper, I got the 128 gig version, and I wanted, it's my first Plus phone, and I really wanted it. And that'll last me a good two. I tried to get 3 years out of my 6, and it didn't work because the battery was the main problem. And the one thing I need, so I'm carrying battery packs around with me, which is another, I'm buying another consumer device which degrades as well to keep up with another problem. And the problem is the companies are just like, it's got to be thinner, it's got to be lighter, it's got. Do you know what? I'd rather have one. A replaceable battery again, that would be lovely. Used to love the days of carrying an extra battery around with me. and I wouldn't mind my device being a few mil thicker just to give
a bit of extra usable life during the day. Yeah,
exactly. So everyone said to me, when you get one of these iPhone Plus phones, it's going to change your life and how the battery was. Do you know what? I use my phone so much that I'm not really seeing any advantage from when I got my 6 to start with. Be perfectly honest, I might see a little bit more, but I'm still running it down every single day. But that's Apple and Samsung and
it's everyone. It's everyone.
Yeah, everyone's doing it. Why does it have to be so thin? I don't understand anymore. And you can come up with better, you know, because they're putting more power in. So you've got these better screens, better speakers, you know, faster processors, which.
Well, obviously... let's take an analogy. You know, I think thickness will come back.
We've got a theme tonight, haven't we?
Yeah, we've definitely got a theme tonight. Just look at LPs, for example. You know, it's, you know, I mean, they're not exactly making a brilliant comeback, but they are making a bit of a comeback. And it's when somebody makes a slightly thicker phone, which has a battery life, which lasts longer, and everybody starts raving about it, that the other companies will start going, oh, hang on a minute, it might actually be something in this process. But having said that, was it LG have created one of these foldable screens?
Yes, they have, yeah.
And that technology will get smaller and smaller. And so, you know, you'll just be carrying a screen around with you. Now, it could be that then you link into something which is desk bound, which you can then power it by. And it perhaps takes a lot less power to bring that technology up and running, which is great, as long as that's what happens. But I totally agree with you. You know, the amount of product which doesn't last its true lifetime because of a component which hasn't kept up with technology is, well, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah. I've got some questions, though. I mean, in terms, when it comes to batteries, I want to know if there's a Moore's Law with batteries, and have they kind of bottomed out on that Moore's Law and that's where the problem lies, or are they being lazy bastards? And I don't know the truth for that answer. And
I think
a lot of people give me opinions, but I don't know what the truth is.
Yeah, and agreed. It's just an opinion, but I think it's your first part, Ewan, because the likes of Elon Musk. Is it Elon Musk? Is his name Musk?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's trying his damnedest to make better battery life, and there's lots of technology. And I think the technology companies would love to have a much longer battery life. Yeah. So they're working hard at it. So I think you're right. I think we've actually reached the peak of it. And you're going to get very small incremental improvements from this point forward.
And my other thought was, what's the influence of the software on it? Because time and time again, when you get your new upgrade, your iPhone, and a lot of people go, oh, well, it's just indexing. And yes, it kind of is. I do understand that. And yes, it does sort itself out, but it does sort itself out after a point update. And I'm just wondering whether there's what influence the software has on the batteries that is causing a major issue with them. And yes, then it's the physical, it's the analog elements of the physical size of it relative to the overall componentry that's on the inside of the device. But there's a bit of me thinks that we're being kept in the dark and fed shit as mushrooms, that, you know, okay, there is a leap in battery technology we could take, but that battery technology leap is massively expensive. We're not prepared to commit to it at the moment because it's too expensive. So we'll just make up reasons why the battery seems to be an issue.
Surely the first company that comes out with that is going to be ahead of everyone else and is going to make the money.
You know, they're going to be ahead of everyone else on price as well, though, and it's never going to sell, and no one's going to rave about it because of the price, which is going back to what Gaz says about, you know, you get someone who comes out with a slightly thicker phone that lasts a bit longer in battery terms, everyone's going to rave about it, and then people buy it, and I agree, that's exactly what's going to happen, but no one's going to come out with the exponentially better battery because that'll be £40,000 for an iPhone or whatever it's going to be, and no one's going to pay that. And you look at the raw, there's been over £1,300 for iPhone 10, and you know, there's rumours about it dropping in price, and people go, if they drop it in price, I want a refund.
I think it's got to be a new power technology which comes along. I think we've reached the peak on battery. It's got to be some other sort of power source, whatever that is. Yeah, it'll be called a battery, but it'll be a completely different technology.
There's enough energy that lands on this planet to fuel us for a year.
Yep.
We don't gather it efficiently. Yeah, that's not changed.
We don't enhance that at all, do we?
No.
Not in the slightest.
But we'll see.
I've got one of those fold-out solar things that you put in and you can plug your phone into. It's shit. Yeah. It doesn't. In terms of the amount of it, on a bright, hot, sunny day, it still won't charge my iPhone.
I bought a battery case with a solar panel on the back.
So it's when that power conversion breakthrough comes that's when everyone will be happy that you can just walk around with, you know, something on your back or on your clothing, or just, you know, you fold out like you've got at the moment, you, and which can convert it and power your phone, whatever model it is, in 10, 15 minutes, like you do now with real power. That's going to be when everyone's going to be happy.
And the other thing as well then is if you look at the storage of energy on batteries and on an industrial scale as well, so you're not looking at how many power stations you switch on each morning. You've got a supply of batteries that feed that surge protection rather than turning on coal-fired guzzlers or even then pulling from nuclear energy, and that's
where, because when we moved into this house, I was looking at obviously putting solar panels up, which we haven't done yet, we are going to, but then I was also looking at these battery packs that you can get. I think Tesla do them, but there's a number of the other companies that do them. The problem at the moment is exactly the point that you mentioned, Ewan, is that the storage on them is not good enough, because the question and what I found out was they're about fridge size or washing machine size. Mm. And they're great. They'll store power. That's fantastic. But if you came in and did the first thing that everybody does, which is probably put the oven on ready to cook your dinner and put your kettle on, bang, it's gone. It's gone straight away. So we've got a much better storage capability, a much better conversion factor from, you know, solar power before we really jump forward with going away from fossil fuels and all the rest of it.
Absolutely. It'd be nice to see. Well, great stories, chaps. Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. So this show is supported by UK2. Now, Ewan knows, and everyone probably knows, I've been raving about it all week. I've had some fantastic support from UK2 this week. I'll do some shout-outs to Spencer and Taylor at UK2. I had two big issues with sites on the live chat with the boys, sorting me out good and proper. And I don't mean in a rude way.
Is that a Jeff-type thing? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But no, I asked them to do a couple of things. I asked them to move a couple of sites over, set up a couple of SSLs for me. They were like, yeah, no worries. Give us your support pin. Done. You know, within a couple of hours, everything was sorted. They were polite. They were lovely. They're brilliant. Not just that the guys are brilliant, the service is brilliant for all your hosting. Head over to BTN, check out our sponsor page. We've got a load of discount codes for you. And if you fancy, and we'd like you to, just drop UK2 a little Twitter tweet and just say, we love you, UK2, for supporting BTN. Because I think you would agree, we couldn't do it without them.
Well, we're lost. I mean, at the moment, we've got quite a lot of crap on the server, but we've also got every show we've ever made. As Bagel Tech and as British Tech, so that you can watch it. And the NQL channel, of course, there's for you to watch. Then that's hosted by them and 100TB, which is a sister arm of UK2. So, yeah, support, definitely. And I've just bought 12 Space Media, which Wright is helping me put the website together for, and effortless.
And I have to say, you don't have to just have a website. If you want some email, we basically have changed or are changing our website with the rugby society that I've got, but we needed to transfer the email package in the background, and we've gone with them. So they're basically the host for our emails. And yes,
oh, awesome.
I gave a shout out for BTN, Ewan,
fantastic. Cool.
Good stuff.
Brilliant.
And we're all supported by, and I'll defer to Ewan for this one, by Hoya.
Yeah. It's coming up towards the middle and end of January. I've got to go and start making the second movie for them. If you didn't see the first movie, you can go and watch it on the Ography Squared site. It's on there, ography2.com. And we're going to make the consumer video for that. And Unique, who hits at the end of the month, all of the machines are being delivered to the people that subscribe to it or laid down for it. And they've got a brand new upgrade to the software as well, which should get rid of like pain in the arse nose. So, yeah, Unique will be akimbo in February.
Fantastic.
That did look I did watch that previous video. It looked really interesting, actually.
It's a great process. It really is a great process.
And it is.
The only problem I've got is that my nose is broken, so it goes behind where the prominence is. And so it thinks my nose is wider than it actually is at the bridge. We're having, I've been a test piece for why that happens. and what they can do to solve it.
It's too damn sexy, mate.
No, I just get raw fish in restaurants or raw chicken in restaurants. It's not cool at all. It's the bane of my life.
Well, I was trying to make it feel better, but yeah, we'll bother. Anyway, got any cool thingies, fellas, Mr. Gaz?
Yeah, can I come back to you? Because I'm just trying to find a link to it at the moment, actually.
Oh, I could put you under pressure like he does to us every week. What you got, mate?
I've already done mine, mate.
He's already done it.
All right. Well, I'll do mine then. I made a big decision when I bought this new iPhone that I was going to try and make it my primary computer because I got rid of my iPads and all that sort of thing. And for a lot of the web design stuff that I do, I have to send people a lot of screenshots. And the problem you have with screenshots on my phone is it normally just takes.
Have you gone mute?
What? Hello?
I'm here.
You can hear me, guys?
I can hear you.
He's just disrupted me.
He's putting you off.
His hearing aids are falling.
Is this me? That's what it is.
It's just you, Ewan.
I couldn't hear him. He disappeared. I don't know whether my AirPod had run out or whether he got a problem. Sorry.
I can edit. Anyway, like I said, when you normally take the screenshot on your phone, you can normally get just a picture of what's on your phone. And I've got this really clever thing called Taylor now, and it's quite nice. So what you do is, so say you want to take a picture of a website. So what you do is you go in, put the URL in, and what it then does is you kind of like take a bit, scroll, hit a picture, take a scroll, hit a picture. And what it does is it stitches the whole thing together. So what I've done earlier was like the Google thing there. And what it does, it uses AI and stitches the whole thing together. So if you want screenshots that are just more than one page, it does it all in one go, and it's totally free.
Excellent.
So that's normally quite nice, because normally if I want to send like a whole web page to a client or something, I should put it in the chat room as well, because I'm really pro me. You just put me off now. It's his fault.
Yeah. You're easily gummonced, aren't you?
I'm sorry, exactly. I couldn't hear you because it went completely silent, but my earpods had gone and what? I'm sorry.
Anyway, it's called Taylor. It's on iOS, and the link's in the chat room.
All right.
Right.
Do you want to do Ewan's, or do you want to do Ewan's cool thingy last? I've just thrown mine in there.
Go for it.
Right. Well, basically, it's circling back to the fact that we don't want to put those little plastic pods in the coffee machine anymore. And I did quite a bit of research, and this was the machine that I looked at. However, it is quite expensive if you buy it direct from De'Longhi. It's the De'Longhi Magnifica. It's a coffee machine. It's also a cappuccino maker, so you can froth up your milk with a spout on the right. It got lots of reviews. I did lots of research on it, but I actually paid only £209 for a new product.
Nice.
The Co-op eBay site at the time. Now, if you do a shopping for it, I think it's down at about, you can easily get it for about £230, which is a lot of money. But we do like our coffee. Who doesn't like coffee? Well, I know Jeff likes coffee. So, and I'm getting fed up of just making coffee or going through the, you know, the cafetiere. So I wanted a bean to cup machine. And this is the one that we looked at and came up with in the end. And it works a treat, actually. And it's got lots of good reviews and looks like it lasts quite a long time as well. There's people that are raving about the fact they've had theirs for a long time. So
looking forward.
Yeah,
the business.
It's good. It seems to be a well-made machine. So, and it's not too big either. Some of the great big bloody things. So it's.
Did you get your 3D scaler?
Yes.
Good. consumer advice there, you know. Just see, I do read things.
Good man.
Good. We love our coffee. No, I do. I've got a Waitrose around the corner. Don't I sound posh? They give my free coffee. They give my free coffee every morning.
Do they do cauliflower steaks?
Do they do what?
Cauliflower steaks?
No.
Not that posh then.
No, not that posh. This is Norfolk. Waitrose. Did you, Mr. Reagan? Did you say you had a cool thing?
Yeah, I've got a Senseo that I've had down in the office for years. And that makes great coffee as well. Well worth looking at.
Yeah.
My cool thing is the Amazon Echo version 2, the smaller one. So you can get version 2 that's got the home kit stuff that's compatible, not home kit, but you know the home automation system that's compatible in the top. And it'll do your bridge stuff for your Hue lights without having to have a separate bridge as well. But I bought the version 2 little tiny one for the office. So I've got, I did a shoot the other week for a fashion thing. And the models were like, have you got a speaker, mate? I'm like, I haven't got anything. I've got a Bose in there. Let me see if I can find the... In the end, I was looking for the power supply for the Bose. And it was like, oh, fuck. And I just lost it in the end completely. And all the models wanted was some sound. So I thought, right, that's it. So in the white room now, I'm going to have its own little Amazon Echo. And it pumps out the volume superbly. I mean, it's as good as the original one version that I've got in the kitchen here.
Oh, good.
Sound quality's awesome. It doesn't, even at volume 10, it's not distorted. It's not. And someone said to me, so is it as good as a Sonos One? It's close. But
ooh, really?
Probably the Sonos One has got better dynamic range if you listen to it. And I would.
It's also a lot more expensive, isn't it?
The Alexa one, yeah. But the thing that really pissed me off the most was I looked at buying two before Christmas, and it was just like, oh, I'll buy them after Christmas, can't be bothered. And they've gone up £20.
They knew.
So an extra 40 quid I didn't need to spend. So, but the Echo version 2, the little pillar one, and I've got them in the BAM, in the oak finish, you know.
Oh, lovely.
And they're the birch finish, oak finished birch, and they're exactly the same as my desk down at the office. They blend in.
Swiss gear.
Yeah, I still haven't pulled the trigger on either of those devices yet, but yeah, it looks like I'm going to have to do something about that soon.
Wait
for the next year. Like,
for 30 quid.
Once you've had a year, Gaz, of speaking to a computer to do certain things for you. Alexa, set a timer for 5 minutes. Turn on the so-and-so light, turn off the so-and-so light, set an alarm for 3:15, add an appointment to my calendar. Once you've done that for a few months, you'll be hooked and you'll want it to do other stuff. And you'll be asking it if it can do other stuff. You'll be like, Alexa, can you tell me? Alexa, can you do the following? And they'll go, I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean. And you're like, oh, I really want that so bad.
There's so many skills as well, aren't there? They're always updating it.
There's tons.
And we're on there too.
Skills. We are. Well, there's an Alexa skill so that you can listen to The Big Show with Carl Swagger every morning as your news brief.
Yep. We hear
cool stuff.
Well, thank you, lads. I think we pulled off a stonking show there.
I enjoyed that. Glad that we did it.
How'd I do, boss? What's my score?
10 out of 10, mate.
Hey, I'll have you back. So the last thing to do is, where can we get hold of you, Mr. Gaz?
Just go on to the Twitter sphere and type in twitter.com/Gazmaz, GAZMAZ. You can also find me on a weekly podcast, the My Mac podcast, which I co-host with Guy Searle. We basically just talk about Macs generally, but we have a laugh when we're doing it. We're not serious about that at all.
And I see you're up to a ridiculous number now.
Yeah, we're coming up to 700.
Yeah.
We haven't done all of those. We've actually done about, I think we've done over 400 now, Guy and I. Although I can't remember the numbers, it's some silly amount of numbers, but yeah it's been going on for some time. So yeah, it's just two guys who enjoy chatting to each other, and we do that on as much of a weekly basis as we can. I wasn't actually on last week, I'll be honest, because I've been busy, but yeah it's good stuff. Enjoy.
I enjoy it. I love it. Great show. I'm talking about great shows, Mr. Ewan Rankin, where can I find you? Although I do know that, tell everyone else.
At Ewan Rankin on Twitter, at British Tech on Twitter as well for the rest of us. Back with the Mac Show tomorrow, 4 p.m. That's coming back as normal, providing the net's back down at the office. It was a bit turgid this afternoon when I got down there, I have to say. And there's loads of stuff coming up. We've got loads of things happening around the network, so stay tuned and watch out. But we'll announce some winners as well for the spider thing and try and get you those sent out.
You can find me at Portland on Twitter, over in the Slack room, over at BTN, doing the old reviews. We've now done 40 reviews in the last month with the old advent calendar and everything. And we're hoping to have one every single day coming up. And thanks to Gary and Mac Jim and Camps. They put in reviews this week as well. So I'm not on my own. There's loads of great stuff over there.
Review from Gaz.
Yes.
Paul Scott did a Tesla review. Very good. And then don't forget, Patrice did a follow-up on his i3 review as well.
He did, his BMW, yes, yes. So get over there. There's loads. There's more stuff than ever. So well worth checking out. Cool. So thank you for coming out, guys. We'll see you next week. And take it easy. Ta-ta!